This afternoon we're going to think about the Psalm 129, a song of degrees. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, may Israel now say. Many a time have they afflicted me from my youth, yet they have not prevailed against me. The ploughers ploughed upon my back, they made long their furrows. The Lord is righteous, he hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. Let them all be confounded and turned back that hate Zion. Let them be as the grass upon the housetops, which withereth afore it groweth up, wherewith the mower filleth not his hand, nor he that bindeth sheaves his bosom. Neither do they which go by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. We know that God will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. In this particular psalm, the writer speaks about the afflictions that the people of God have experienced. He said, many a time have they afflicted me from my youth. He's talking here about persecution. He's talking about bloodshed. He's talking about genocide even. You see, the children of Israel lived through terrible times. They were attacked by Babylon. Their nation was annexed. The people were stripped of their homeland. They suffered greatly. And he compares their suffering to the lashes of a whip. He said, the ploughers ploughed upon my back. They made long their furrows. This was how it felt nationally for Israel. They had received a whipping. They were flogged. And therefore, their pain was intense. And it was intense. But as we think about this psalm and the suffering of Israel, our minds are drawn to one who suffered even more. And he is referred to here in these words. Because as the writer spoke of Israel being whipped, the Lord was prophetically moving by the spirit of inspiration to reveal the suffering of his son hundreds of years later. Whenever the Lord Jesus Christ died, he died as one who was whipped, as one who was flogged. At this time of the year, we think about the baby who came into the world, Jesus. He came to save his people from their sins. And we look at him lying there in the arms of the Virgin Mary, and we rejoice in the great tidings, the good news, the light that arose in the midst of darkness. But why did the Son of God become man? Why did the one who was the Logos, the eternal Word, why did he take upon himself the flesh of humanity? Why did he take upon himself the body of an infant? Why? In order that he might suffer. The Apostle Paul, when writing to the Hebrews, talked about the Son of God learning obedience by the things which he suffered. You see, it was necessary for Christ to obey his Father and to learn obedience through suffering. Of course, he was always obedient, but he had never obeyed his Father through suffering before. From eternity, before the heavens and the earth were created, he never suffered because there was no curse in that place. But whenever he took upon himself a human frame, although he was sinless, yet at the same time he had to endure suffering for sinners. This was the way by which we are saved, in order that he might suffer. So he took upon himself a human body in order that he might suffer. And we should remember that at Christmas and every time of the year, the Son of God became man in order that he might suffer. Why should he suffer? He suffered for us. And one of the aspects of his suffering was the flogging. Whenever Pilate condemned him to die, he was handed over to the soldiers, and the soldiers then tortured the victim. Now, there was a reason for this. The executioner, it was a man called the lictor. This was a Roman position. The lictor was the executioner. And the lictor could determine how long someone would hang on a cross for. And in order to determine that, the victim was flogged beforehand. The more blood loss, the greater the flogging, the quicker death would be on the cross. Sometimes the victims were left to hang on the cross for days. But in the case of Jesus, he could not be left for days, simply because the Sabbath was coming and the Romans would not allow crucified victims to be hanging from their crosses on the Sabbath. Therefore, it was important that he die quickly. Therefore, his flogging would have been particularly extreme. How did the Romans flog their victims? They used a whip that we call a cat of nine tails, a whip with seven straps. And these seven straps would have been laced with pieces of metal or jagged fragments of bones. And as the victim was flogged, well, the whip and the metal or the bone would have torn into his flesh. And the writer here is particularly graphic in this third verse. The ploughers ploughed upon my back, they made long their furrows, the back of a man being ploughed from the top of his shoulders down to the very bottom of his back. This was extreme, extreme pain, extreme agony. The blood loss was severe. This was why whenever he was being presented with his cross to carry it, he couldn't. He was so weak, you see, he had lost so much blood. This was one of the reasons why in the cross he cried, "I thirst." One of the results of a lot of blood loss is extreme thirst, extreme dehydration. He thirsted on the cross because of the blood loss. Oh yes, the sufferings of our Saviour in his body were severe beyond anything that we have experienced, and if God be pleased, beyond anything that we ever will experience in this life. The sufferings of my Lord. We see a little child lying in the mother's arms, and let us remember he came to suffer. And he came to suffer for us. He came to die for us. He came to shed that precious blood for us in order that we might be saved. The pain was extreme. The thirst was extreme. Because hell is a place of great pain. And this is what he did on the cross. He suffered our hell. He suffered our punishment. And hell is described as a place of thirst. Whenever the rich man was in hell, we are told, and these were the words of Christ himself, that he wanted one drop of water to cool his tongue. Just one drop of water. He cried out for just one drop of water. He was thirsty. You see, hell is a place of torment, is a place of pain, because it is the place where sin is punished. And our sin was punished upon Christ. He became that sin sacrifice. He became that offering. So he died in your place and in my place, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place, condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Saviour. Are you trusting him today? Perhaps you're suffering in this world. Israel were suffering, and they compared their suffering to the sufferings of Christ. And I think it is a great comfort to you of your suffering, that there is one who has suffered more than you will ever suffer. And he knows every aspect of your pain. He has felt it in his own body. Therefore he feels for you, and he cares for you, and he loves you today. The hymn writer said, "Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary." Jesus is very near. There's a burden that can be lifted at Calvary for you. The Apostle Paul talked about having a great high priest. You know, we have a great high priest in heaven. His name is Jesus Christ. He's touched, Paul said, with the feeling of our infirmities. And there's grace to help in time of need. Whatever your need is today, there's grace in Christ. There's help in the Saviour. Will you come and embrace him and trust him and call upon his name? I pray that you will do this, and I pray that these words will be of help and comfort to you. Oh, let's turn our eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, that the things of this earth would grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Thank you for listening.